We'll read through the first 13 verses to start, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. That was with the golden calf. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. That's in Moab. We're going to read that in Numbers. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. That's coming too. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you and we commit this time to you. And we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and minister to us. Give us faith, give us ears to hear, enlighten our eyes, the eyes of our understanding to see. We believe you, we trust you, we love you, and we give you all glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Back to Numbers chapter 11. The topic today, complaining. Now we've been looking at Numbers so far, and so far it's really been preparation, organization, getting ready for war, getting ready to go forward. And last week we seen they finally went forward. They finally embarked on their journey. And that's where we pick up in chapter 11. And interesting, this is where the complaining comes in. I thought, you know, they spent this time preparing and they were looking forward. And they were preparing for something to come. But when the preparation ended and the routine set in, then they started to complain. And it's the same is true with us. Sometimes we're excited about something coming up and we're getting ready for it and we're preparing for it. And then other times it seems life is in a routine. And we see that there's going to be this same routine for a while. And we start to get discontent, and we're vulnerable at that time to complain. They seem, as they were all prepared and going forward, they seem that this cloud leading them, this manna that they were to eat, all of these things were going to become familiar and were going to be a routine for the foreseeable future. And this made them vulnerable to complaining. We're going to look at some basic points here. We're going to look at reasons they had for complaining. We're going to look at expressions of their complaining. We're going to look at the consequences of their complaining. And then we're going to see if there's anything in this chapter that would give us answers to complaining. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses of chapter 11, book of Numbers. Now, when the people complained, starts off right there. It displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color was like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. So here we see, as we start, some reasons for their complaining. Notice that they had intense cravings in verse 4. Intense. And they began to weep. I mean, this was to them a really important big deal. They were emotionally very much invested in this that they were deprived of. So the reason for their complaining was very, very personal and emotional to them. It was important. It was an intense craving. The temptation to complain was so intense. I like what we read today in Corinthians, how the Bible says, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says that you're not going to be tempted beyond what you are able to handle. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. I like that because some temptations are so intense that you can't just stand and resist. You need to escape because of the intensity of the temptation. And man, there was an intense craving for these things that they didn't have and couldn't have. And it was a temptation for them to complain. So the first reason we see is this intense emotional investment, desire. Also, we see as they talk, they said, "Oh, how we long for the fish and the leeks and the garlic and the cucumbers and the things we had back in Egypt." Now, why were they striving and desiring these things? Because these were the things they grew up with. The mixed multitude, most likely those that had mixed parents, maybe one parent Egyptian, one a part of the tribe, the people of Israel. So they had more of a ingrained culture of the Egyptian culture in them on one side of their family. They stirred up and started the complaining. But then the whole nation, all the people of Israel joined with them. And I see here as a second reason for their complaining, not only the craving, the intense emotional desire, but also the conditioning. See, they grew up thinking that, hey, fish is a part of life. Everyone eats fish. But now they're in a place where they don't get fish. But they were conditioned to believe that fish is what you're supposed to eat, and cucumbers and garlics. And so many times we're conditioned by the world. Well, hey, we're supposed to have this thing that we can't have. I see it on TV. I see back we used to have it back before we came to Christ, before I was born again. And the world tries to condition us to believe that there are certain things that are needs. Interesting, because they were craving for fish and garlics and leeks, but it wasn't because they were starving or malnourished or hungry. It wasn't a need. They had something to eat, manna. It just, the manna was bland. They were bored of the manna. So their complaining was not based upon a need. You know, God knows much better than us our needs. We all have physical, emotional, spiritual needs. And God knows them. And he has every intention of fulfilling each and every one of our needs. And oftentimes, the source of our complaining is not centered around a need, although it feels like it. It's an intense craving. It feels like a need. But for them, it wasn't a need. They didn't need fish and garlics and leeks and cucumbers and all this other stuff. You know, condiments, spices, flavor. They didn't need it. God knew what they needed. And for the foreseeable future, all they had was manna, and manna was boring. Manna was bland. Manna was God's provision. It was good. And God had every intention to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, much variety in their future. But for now, there was an intense craving for that which they've been conditioned to believe was something they needed. So reasons for complaining, just our nature, lusting, craving, desiring, emotion. It just feels like we want it. That drives us to complaining. And then the conditioning of the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. That means do not let the world press you into its mold. Don't let the world tell you what you need. Don't let the world convince you what's good, what's fun, what's necessary to enjoy life. Don't listen to the world. The world's wrong. Listen to the Lord. They were conditioned. They grew up thinking certain things were what they needed to eat. So they complained. Let's read a little more, beginning in verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I going to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Interesting, this complaining that started with the mixed multitude and spread to all the people of Israel. It was contagious, and now Moses is here complaining. He's got his own unique, different reason to complain, but he's complaining too. And it's interesting to look. Am I the dad of all these? These are not all my kids. What am I supposed to do? He's frustrated, and he's complaining to the Lord. And his reason, really, you know, I was trying to use C words, and I was thinking because of his cares or his cargo or his carrying. But it was really because he was overwhelmed. Here he felt, I'm not able to bear what you've given me. I'm in this position and they're complaining and asking me for meat and I can't give them meat. I can't do this, God. So his reason for complaining was that he was overwhelmed with his task. That's another reason that we have. There's the cravings, there's the conditioning, then there's the cares, the overwhelmed condition that we find ourselves in sometimes. Reasons for complaining. We're going to read this whole chapter and the next completely, but we're going to skip around as we do. Look at chapter 12 as we look for another reason for complaining. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now, Miriam and Aaron, they get in on the complaining. They come to Moses and they complain that he has this position and he has this exclusive position as the leader of the people of Israel. And they complain about that. Hey, it's not like God's only speaking through you. He speaks through us too. What's up with this? And besides, you married an Ethiopian woman. We don't have Ethiopian spouses. Why should you lead us? And why shouldn't we have more of a position of authority in this camp? And I see a couple different reasons for them as they complain. One is conceit or pride. I'm better than you, Moses. I didn't marry someone outside of the tribe of Israel. And that can be trigger our complaining as we look around and we see things that others have as weaknesses or struggles. And we try to focus on them and make ourselves feel better about ourselves. But focusing on other people's faults is one thing that leads to complaining. We complain about them because of conceit and pride. Also, it was covetousness or jealousy. I want to have the position you have. I want to be a leader like you are. I want what you have. And that led to complaining. So all the reasons for complaining, cravings, it just feels it's so innate. It's my nature. It's my emotions. Conditioning. Everyone has it. It's what life's supposed to be like. There's being overwhelmed. I can't do this. This is too much. And we complain about it. There's conceit. I'm better than these people. And we complain. There's covetousness. I want what they have. And we complain. Reasons for complaining, murmuring. Now I want to drop back and look at different expressions of complaining here in this passage. See, they had all the reasons, but how did they express it? First of all, in chapter 11, notice how it gets right into it. It says, now when the people complained. It doesn't give much definition or explanation of how they complained in the beginning. And you know how we oftentimes start our complaining is internal, contemplative in our mind. We start to think, this isn't fair. I want that. This isn't right. This is hard. And oftentimes complaining, the expression of our complaining starts contemplatively in our mind, in our hearts, inside. We start to feel like things are not fair. We start to get discontent in our hearts inside, and we think it. But then we see as the mixed multitude influence the rest of the camp, it becomes vocal. It becomes a part of conversation. Yeah, this isn't fair. The weather is terrible here in Michigan. Some people, it seems like they speak negatively about a lot of things. And, you know, coming into this study, approaching this, I thought, you know, that's one thing I don't struggle a lot with is complaining. Yeah, right. I read through this, and every single one of these reasons, every single one of these expressions expose my heart. I'm oftentimes negative, a part of the problem of complaining, inside and out. And they would say things. It became vocal and it began to spread. And it is contagious, negativity. You start talking about the weather, I'll jump right on the bandwagon. It's contagious. And it's interesting. Here they are. And everyone is complaining. The mixed multitude, all the people, Moses, Aaron, Miriam. I was thinking as I went through this the first time, Joshua. Hey, Joshua wasn't tainted. And he was the only one that made it to the promised land. Not a coincidence. But he was. We're going to get to that. He complains in this chapter too. When we'll read the story, others are prophesying. He says, should we rebuke them? That's not right. Everyone is complaining. Complaining is a human thing. And I would assume that we all have or do have this temptation to complain. It's human. It's contagious and it spreads. So one of their expressions starting in the mind as they begin to think it and feel it. Another expression is to bring it out and vocalize it in conversation. Also we see as an expression, notice their attitude. As they said, who will give us meat? And I thought maybe the easiest way and most effective way to communicate this expression, because it's so popular in politics today, is entitlement. They had this idea that they should have someone give them this thing that they want. This the expression of this complaining was really a blame. I don't have this, and it's your fault because you haven't given it to me. And you complain about the leaders and the government and this person and that person because, you know, they should enable me to have the thing that I want. This expression of complaining looking kind of like entitlement. Also, we look at Moses and how he prays to the Lord. If I found, how does he say it again? if you treat me like this, please kill me here now if I've found favor in your sight. He's despondent. And that can be an expression of complaining. Overwhelmed. Hopeless. There's no way this is, can't work. Just kill me now. An expression of complaining. Also, we look at Miriam and Aaron. Their expression was a little different. It was kind of demanding. And kind of blaming also, but not in the sense of entitlement, like you should give me, but kind of like in the sense of get out of my way. You're in the way of me getting what I want. If you just stepped aside, if you just got out of my way, then I could get it. An expression of complaining. And we have these emotions. We have these desires, and then we get negative about them. And then we start to blame others. If it wasn't for that person, if that person would get out of the way, if that person would make a different decision, and we're negative about our life, and we put it on others like it's their fault. Interesting thing about complaining. We read, and we're going to get to it, that God was displeased. You know why God is displeased when we complain? Because He's in control. You know why your life is the way it is right now? Because God is sovereign. So we're blaming others and we're complaining and we're negative, but ultimately God takes it personally. It's not others' fault. It's not because Moses is hogging the leadership. It's not because Moses is refusing to provide meat. It's because God has placed them in a place in their position and rank without the food that they crave. It's God's doing. But the expression of complaining can look different. And oftentimes people will see the expression of someone else's complaining and say, see, that's complaining. That's wrong. And they'll fail to see their own expression, which may be a little different. But complaining is sinful and against God. And expressions are revealed in different ways. Now I want to drop back and look at the consequences of complaining. We already looked at the first one. I look again at chapter 11, verse 1. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. And later, Moses calls the place Taberah because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Taberah means burning. You know, the consequence of complaining is it displeases God. And not just a little bit. This idea of burning and churning, it really bothers God for His people to complain and be negative about what He's done. And you step back and you look at this example, and God has done so good to His people. He's delivered them from slavery. He's made them a people and a nation. He's provided for them water and food and everything they need. And He's preparing them to possess everything they would ever want. And here they are complaining, desiring to be back in slavery because of the garlic. That really burns God. It hurts Him. It displeases Him. A consequence of complaining is it displeases God because He hears. He sees and hears what we think and what we feel and what we say negatively against our situation. It's, I don't like this. I don't like my life. And God looks, but I'm the author of life. But my life is hard and bad. But I have plans. I've done so much good. I've proven my faithfulness. And I have only good in store. And every single one of your needs I've met and will meet, and every single one of your desires I want to fulfill and meet in my timing and my way, which is best. Consequence of complaining is it displeases the Lord. It burns Him. Also, look again in verse 6. The people speaking, but now our whole being is dried up. Another consequence of complaining is depression. That's where it leads. The more we think negatively and complain and feel and speak and express it as blame against this person or that person for this reason and that reason, and our pride and our conceit and our jealousy, we begin to be more and more depressed. And here they are, totally provided for, everything they need, looking at the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day, the shade from the sun. And they're saying, our whole being is dried up. Life is horrible. They're depressed because of their complaining, a consequence of their complaining. Let's read a little more. Verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and will put the same spirit upon them, that they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself. This is in response to Moses saying, I can't bear this alone. Kill me if you don't help me. He says, I'll give you some help. Verse 18, then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? Another consequence of complaining. Sometimes God gives us what we complain for to our detriment. We want meat, we want meat, we want meat. I'm going to give you meat and you're going to loathe it. Moses, I want help, I want help, I want help. I'll give you help. But then Moses, or Aaron and Miriam says, hey, God speaks through other people too. That was his request. As the Lord put his spirit upon the 70 and they prophesied, it caused a problem for Moses. Sometimes we want this thing and we complain and we desire it and we push for it, but it's not good for us. But sometimes we can push for it and get it when it's not good. I want to marry this person. I want this car. I want this house. I want to move to this place. And we push, and God puts his obstacles. Me and Jeff were talking about our daily bread today, about Balaam on the donkey. He's riding on the donkey, and he went before God, says, go. And the angel of the Lord stands in the way with the sword, and the donkey stops and crushes the foot of Balaam into the wall. And he's beating on the donkey. And the donkey finally lays down. He's beating on the donkey. And God opens the mouth of the donkey. He says, why are you beating on me? He says, because you won't go. If I had a sword, I'd kill you. And the Lord opened his eyes. And he's seen the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, if it wasn't for the donkey, I'd kill you. But so many times, the Lord is trying to set the obstacle up. And we're pushing and we're pushing and we're pushing and we're beaten. And sometimes he'll let us go, even though it's not best. A consequence of complaining can get us what we should have never had. I'm going to read a quick scripture to you, speaking of this. Psalms 106, verse 13 through 15. They soon forgot his works. This is speaking of the children of Israel at this time. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul, the consequence of their request. He gave it to them. Oh, we want this, we lust exceedingly, we crave. He gave it to them, but it sent leanness into their soul, the psalmist says. Let's read a little more. Verse 21. And Moses said, The people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, "Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not." Another consequence of complaining, I believe that when we complain and we're in a state of negative complaining, we are conditioned for doubt. Here's Moses complaining. "I want help. Just kill me. This is too hard. This is too hard for me, God." "Okay, I'll give you what you want." Then God says, "I will provide meat for a whole month." He says, "How are you going to do that, God? That's really hard. What, are we going to slaughter all the animals in the whole camp? What, are you going to get every single fish from the sea?" God said, "Has my arm been shortened? Are you talking to a different God that parted the Red Sea, that did the wonders in Egypt? Moses, you'll see." And oftentimes, God tells us things and we don't believe, and he's patient. You'll see. And he proves himself faithful. But I think if we're negative and complaining, we're more apt to doubt. That negativity begins, this isn't fair. I don't think he's going to be fair. And this is hard. What is God going to do? I don't think he's going to do it. And complaining leads to doubt, a consequence of complaining. Let's read a little more. We'll skip a little section and get back to it. But look at verse 31. "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to cravings." And Kibroth Hattaavah means graves of craving. "From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hazeroth and camped at Hazeroth." Another consequence of complaining, I think, sometimes, many times, it can lead to obsession. Here, God gives them the meat, and they spend all day, all night, and all the next day collecting just as many quail as they can get. And then they spread it out all before them. And they eat it, obsessed with this thing that they want. And many times we can complain, and it can lead to an obsession over something that we shouldn't even be concerned about. Consequences of complaining. Also, I've got a couple more here at the end. Destruction. We see that many of them were struck by the Lord as the food was still between their teeth. And again, if we're complaining and pushing and desiring, God gives us that very thing that we shouldn't have. Many times that very thing leads to destruction. That very thing is going to cause ruin. And we're left to suffer the consequences of the thing that we pushed for. So another consequence of complaining could, in the end, lead to destruction. Ruin. And let's read some more in chapter 12. Beginning in verse 3. This is back to the Miriam and Aaron incident. "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth." Some people say, because Moses wrote the book of Numbers. Did he write that? "I am the most humble man in the whole world." Possibly. Some say maybe someone put it in as a parenthesis after. I don't know. But it's inspired, so it's true. Verse 4, "Suddenly the Lord came to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. 'Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting.' So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, 'Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, the Lord defending Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Then the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Another consequence of complaining can be God's rebuke and chastening. Here, Miriam and Aaron, and we can assume from the text probably Miriam really the driving force behind it, Aaron just going along with it because she was the one judged. But oftentimes God, the Bible says, pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Many times as we complain and we're negative, God makes it his point to rebuke us and to chasten us. As the Bible says, he chastens the ones he loves. So a consequence of complaining could be bringing on punishment and the Lord's rebuke and chastening, and also shame. She was shamed when Moses cried out, "Oh, Lord, heal her. Let's let her be leper for 7 days," that she would be shamed for 7 days. A consequence of complaining can be shame. So the last thing I want to look at through this passage is answers for complaining. Okay, we're all convicted, cut to the heart. We're all a bunch of filthy complainers. Is there hope? What do we do? Are there any answers here to complaining? One thing I see throughout is prayer. In the beginning, as they complained and the Lord burned and began to consume some on the outskirts, they cried to Moses. Moses prayed, and the fire was quenched. And again with Miriam, Moses prayed, and after 7 days, she was healed of leprosy. You know, prayer is a very good tool to use against complaining. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me be positive. Forgive me. We pray, and we pray positively instead of thinking and talking negatively. Oh, Lord. And then for others, oh, Lord, you know, we see that person's a complainer. What do you do? Pray. Oh, Lord, help them see the positive. Oh, we have conceit or jealousy against someone. Pray. Oh, Lord, take that away. Give me the right heart. Help me to be grateful, be positive. Prayer is an answer to complaining. Also, I see here as a theme a couple times brought up in this passage is humility and meekness. Let's read the portion that's left. Verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. This is back before the quail came. And he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was in him and placed the same spirit upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." This is where Joshua gets to complain. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, "Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, "Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." And Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. I like Moses' answer there. That's not fair. They didn't come. They shouldn't get to prophesy. They failed. Moses said, "I wish everyone could prophesy. I wish God's Spirit would come upon everyone." In those days, God's Spirit would come upon a select few, and they would prophesy or be gifted. Oh, that He would come upon all. In our day, the Holy Spirit indwells each and every believer that puts their faith and trust in Him and is born again. That heart of Moses came to pass, that all his people would have the Holy Spirit come upon them and fill them. But I like Moses, and it shows here and then what's mentioned in the other place, Moses' humility and meekness. And I think this is another answer to complaining. Humility, understanding a proper placement of yourself, not being conceited and puffed up and proud. You know, someone else gets something, that's fine, that's good. And I think that's another answer for complaining, is humility and meekness. Now, the last seven are really one. What is the answer to complaining? God is the answer to complaining. And we see that throughout here. It's God's patience with the complaining camp of Israel that pushes through and brings resolution. You know, God's patience with you is the answer for your complaining. Praise the Lord for His patience. His providing through it all is the answer to our complaining. His faithfulness when we are faithless, or not faithful and faithless, is the answer to our complaining. His teaching, as He was showing, "Hey Moses, you'll see whether or not I'll do what I said." His teaching lessons is the answer to our complaining. His rebuke and chastening, He'll teach us. He'll get our attention. He'll teach us the lesson. And then finally, I love these last two and the most important. His sovereignty. I couldn't find the word complaining in the King James Version in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it's murmuring. And I looked up all the New Testament passages about murmuring, and what's found in most of the passages is God explaining that He is in control. He told the story about the man who went out and seen some people standing idle at the beginning of the day. He said, "Hey, work for me." And then he goes out and hours later gets some more. "Hey, work for me." And then hours later gets some more. "Work for me." And then at the end of the day, he finds some people. "Hey, work." And they don't work long at all. And then he pays them all the same. And the people start to murmur. "That's not fair." And he says, "Hey, I didn't do nothing wrong. I gave you what I told you I would give you. I can do with my money whatever I want to do." God trying to explain, "I'm sovereign." And when we complain, we're coming against His sovereignty. And what's the answer to complaining? Accept His will. Accept your life the way it is, because He is in control. He is sovereign. He is on the throne. It's no one else's fault. The answer to complaining, "Okay, God, it may be hard. It may be intense craving. I may be conditioned this way. Everything in me might be upset. I have this conceit, this covetousness, all these things. But I'll accept who You are and the way it is." And finally, we read that He was a burning, consuming. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that He is a consuming fire. And He consumed some of those on the outside. And He destroyed some of those as they ate the quail. And what is the answer to complaining? God consuming the negativity from our hearts. Burn it away, because it's there. It's intrinsically wired and wrapped and embedded in us. "Okay, God, I'll accept the way it is, but I'm human and I'm weak. Burn it out of me. Consume my weakness with Your Spirit and Your strength." I like that song we sing. "From the inside out, consume me." And we sing, "Let the poor man say I am rich in Him." We're poor. We're weak, we're blind, we're dead. We have human weaknesses, yet His Spirit is the answer to every single one of them. Consume me and take care of all my weaknesses. So, in conclusion, going through the points real quick, concerning complaining, what is your reason to complain? See, there's lots of reasons, and we all have our reasons. What is your way of expressing your complaint? What does it look like when you complain? Recognizing. Consequences. Maybe you've experienced some. Maybe there's warning here of where complaining leads. The consequences of complaining. And then the answer to your complaints. Oh God, reveal. Patiently lead us. Consume us. Help us accept the way things are. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can't, the wisdom to know the difference. Just go with life the way it is. Don't try to change someone else, blame someone else, and just be depressed through life because of that thing you just know you feel you need. Just give in. Trust me. God has good in store for your future. He loves you. And he takes good care of his children, his sheep. Lord, help us. Let's pray. And don't just trust me, trust him and his word. That's where our promise comes from. Heavenly Father, we look to you and I recognize so clearly the complaining in my life, my heart, on my tongue so often, the negativity, where it leads and how it displeases you. You hear, you see. Lord, we pray for mercy. We confess our shortcoming in sin, our complaining to you. We ask, Lord, for forgiveness. We ask that you would help us, change us, consume us by your Holy Spirit. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We believe your word. We know that you are good, that you love us, and you'll take care of us. So we put our desires and our complaints before you. We ask that you give us trust and faith. Help us to go forward positively and recognize when we complain and stray, to repent and trust. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.